fighting for America.
The hands up thing is not something new. In the black community, it's totally different. We hear about this crap all the time. We know not to interact with the cops. We know not to say too much, do too much.
Fighting for Idaho.
I miss him so much. He's just so funny. Whenever you were down, he just made you laugh. I just miss him.
Fighting for you.
The situation this past 2 years has been extremely difficult. It's taught us a lot about patience and trust in God. And we're just beginning to realize the amazing hidden blessings that God has brought through this crisis.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. You know, as we always cover education, we go to the schools, we promote our schools, secure our future. Still the big issue nationally and locally is the Common Core curriculum, and a lot of folks, whether it's TPB and others, believe that this legislative session we will have the end of Common Core. Will that happen? Well, joining us now, Stacy Knutson, Stephanie Zimmerman, and Milo Wood to talk a little bit about Common Core. Ladies, good to have you with us.
Good morning,
Thanks,
Kevin.
Thanks for having us.
So usually two, now we have three. So good to have you all with us. First off, let me get you guys fired up to begin with. Is the battle for Common Core over, considering it's, what are we going on, year two, year three, year seven? It seems like it, but...
It's not anywhere near over. I know that last week, I think it was Sunday's newspaper, there was an editorial or an interview of Tom Luna where he said the battle is over.
Your friend, Mr. Luna.
My friend.
Yes.
Yes.
You all have had quality time with Mr.
Yes.
Luna. In fact, Mr. Luna doesn't want to talk about it anymore with us. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, he doesn't want to talk about it. And he says that the battle is over. Those are his words. But in the hearts and minds of parents and teachers, it's far from over. We have not discussed this nearly enough for the battle to be over. He's going on to bigger and better things. But... those of us here in the trenches, we're still in the trenches.
Well, what's really going on? Let's talk about the implementation. And ladies, you cover the facts. You study this issue because you care about it so much. What year are we in at Common Core here in Idaho? What year are we in?
This is the first year it's really been implemented.
The first big year.
Yeah, this is the first full year or first year of full implementation. We've not seen what it's really going to do yet.
And also, this is the first year that they will be tested, and the test results will be valid. You know, last year was just a
trial run.
A trial run, and they didn't even get test scores. And so, you know, the real
implementation.
Gosh.
It's
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, no worries. I'm a fumbler
Sorry.
All the time, so you're in good company.
Yeah. We just don't know yet. And we, you know, all we can do is look at the states that are further ahead, New York and Kentucky, and see the problems that they're having. And we can assume that we'll be having those same problems here.
Okay. Well, Myla, please jump in here. What problems are we having? Are they having with Common Core? Are we seeing?
Well, I think from my perspective, personally, as a parent, when my son was in eighth grade, they did a trial implementation in my school where they skipped the pre-algebra math and then just went straight into algebra. So that was my first rude awakening, if you want to call it that, to Common Core.
But and let me throw it back to the panel here with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. So we've had a specific example of a problem here in Idaho. Forget pre-algebra, but what about the problems in some of these other states that y'all have been covering? I mean, New York, and what are the big issues?
The big issues, one of the largest issues is the amount of time that's taken up by the testing. This is a really test-heavy initiative where teacher pay and performance and all that is based on how students perform on these long, intrusive tests. So that's one of the huge issues right there. The other thing is... the way the math is being taught, it's confusing, it's disjointed, and it doesn't make sense. The English language arts, you know, they're cutting out so much of the good, rich literature and replacing it with informational texts. And, you know, PISA, who I can't remember what PISA stands for anymore, but it's one of the international testing groups, even they've done studies that say reading good, rich literature helps students read informational texts better. So there are problems the whole way around. But it's important to realize that Common Core isn't just the standards and assessments. It is a full-blown education reform initiative where, you know, you've got teacher evaluations, you've got data collection, you've got turning around low-performing schools, and then you've got the standards and assessments along with all of that. So it's not just about standards and assessments and what's being taught. It's about the whole gamut that's being run with this.
Right, but, you know, have there been specific complaints out of those states? Is it the data collection? Is it the curriculum? Is it the time testing? Or is it all of the above when you're hearing about states that are further along in the Common Core?
Well, so in Kentucky, they their testing, their metrics that they wanted to meet with their testing, they fell short of all the metrics after 2 years of doing Common Core. In fact, in many of the areas that they wanted to improve in, they actually went down. And then with their testing, this year, the legislature decided that they were going to have to discontinue any of the constructed answer questions and go back to just the computer graded. It was just too expensive for the state. It took too long to grade the tests. And so here we are just starting this year with this constructed response where we're going to have to then send the tests out. At least two teachers are going to have to independently grade these tests. And we're being told that that's not going to cost any more than just the computer graded. Well, that just doesn't make any common sense. And that's not what Kentucky found. So the cost of the test has been a huge complaint, and they've actually had to change what they're doing in Kentucky. In New York, the teachers' unions are pulling their support for Common Core because as the test heavy and the requirements for how well they have to do on the test and then the students aren't meeting those, the teachers are actually receiving scripts so that they can teach specific topics in their classes to prepare kids for the testing. And as those scripts have come out, the teachers are revolting and saying, this isn't what we want to do. The whole school year should not be occupied by preparing these kids to take the tests. So we're seeing these things happen. In fact, actually in Idaho this year, in my daughter's science class, her teacher received a script that he had to read word for word to prepare the kids for the English language arts portion of the SBAC in science. And he, you know, he felt it was ridiculous. And so he read it just as a script and said, I have to read this. Now the students will respond this. So that happened here in Idaho and at Rocky Mountain High. So we're starting to see some of these things happen, but they haven't been fully implemented here because we haven't had the year of the test scores falling like they had in New York and Kentucky.
So those are some of the issues, if you will. But, you know, a lot of proponents, including the state school superintendent, says the way we were doing it in the past is failed. So this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to all hold hands across the country and get our standards up collectively.
Well, I think that if the Common Core standards were themselves a single piece and that they were free for teachers to amend, to add to delete, to make better, to improve as they saw fit, it probably wouldn't be as big of an objection, I guess, on my part. But the fact that they're just one of a four-part education reform package. And I think it's also interesting that they were claimed in the beginning to be internationally benchmarked. There's absolutely no evidence of that anywhere. They've never been tested, they've never been proven, and they've never been piloted. So I'm not really sure how they can stand by their claim of them being so much better when they've never fit any of these standards that they've told us that they've been held to.
Well, but people have complained about the scoring and the testing here in Idaho, and they've said, look, we locally can't do it. We can't do it on a statewide platform, so we're going to work to become Massachusetts.
Well, Massachusetts actually took a big step backwards by adopting the Common Core standards. Their standards, by everyone that has analyzed the Common Core standards and analyzed Massachusetts, have said Massachusetts were an A, and now they're giving Common Core in most areas a B plus to an A minus. So Massachusetts has taken a step backwards to conform to commonality. So, you know, what we've been promoting all along is let's take the very best standards in the nation. Massachusetts, we have access to use Massachusetts English language art standards and California's math standards, which are rank higher than Common Core. They still rank higher than Common Core. Let's use those, and then let's let our teachers start with that as a basis, but free them up. And the reason they won't do that, or that our state hasn't done that, is because these reform packages that they signed on to when they took money from the feds in different programs, the ARRA, the Recovery Act, and all these different things. And so that's what the politicians, and some of them know and just won't admit it, and some of them don't really understand. But when we signed on, when our governor signed to take federal funds, he said, we will follow this federal reform package. And so that's why they say it's all about high standards. It's all about high standards. And they want everyone focused on these standards. But that's not really what it's about. And we've seen that as Kentucky has, their test scores have fallen. New York, the test scores have fallen. There's a huge parent revolt in New York and big groups that are rallying. They filled a football stadium there and rallied for opt-out. And they don't want their kids participating in this testing for data collection and as their test scores drop. So we have the evidence that's starting to come in, that if these were so wonderful, then kids would be improving. Test scores would be going up. In Massachusetts, when they've raised their standards, just Massachusetts, the test scores have gone up. But now that we're doing this whole reform package, test scores are going down. Now that we're trying to conform teachers in the way they teach to one particular way and one particular set of standards, test scores are going down. So, you know, they can continue to go out and spout the idea that Idaho's standards weren't high before and these are better. But they have no evidence to show that how they are going to implement these standards is going to be better for Idaho kids.
Well, and let's move along here. Isn't it a simple case that they're getting the money?
Well, that's how it definitely...
I mean, they're going to get the money, so they're not going to cut off the spigot to the money tree.
Well, and that's part of the problem right there. We depend so much on the federal government for funds that, they've kind of got us hanging over a barrel.
Right, so that's the means getting rid of Common Core, probably not going to happen.
It's going to be difficult, but we have to do it. Money's important, yes, but our children are more important, and it doesn't matter how much money we get. If we're throwing it at a bad system that's not helping our kids, it's wasted, and it just irritates me.
All right. We like that. Irritated in the morning. Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Coming up, much more. The truth about Common Core. Can it be taken down here in Idaho? We'll find out next. Time to take a look at traffic. You're listening to 580K.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on talking about Common Core. Let's get back to our expert panel here. We have Myla Wood, Stephanie Zimmerman, Stacy Knudsen. And you wanted to add something here about Common Core. You're ready to endorse it?
No, not hardly. You brought up the money aspect of it.
And yeah, I think a simple matter of fact that, look, are we going to kill the goose that lays the golden egg? And you all have said we're so dependent on it. So maybe the politicians are saying, yeah, it's great because they're cashing the checks.
Right. And I mean, I understand we did get some money, but we didn't get all the money from that. We put in applications to receive money and we didn't receive money on some of those applications. So that's one point that I wanted to make. The second point was the second pillar of the education reform, which is the data collection system. There has been an absolute astronomical amount of money siphoned off of education monies and put towards the state longitudinal data system. So my argument would be, I think we just need aggregate data. We don't need all this personal level data. Let's save the money that we're using on the state longitudinal data system and put it back into the classrooms.
How personal is the data? We have a lot of folks, including TPB from the Gem State Patriot, very concerned about this. I've talked to administrators in the Treasure Valley saying they may agree with some aspects of Common Core, but the data collection does cause them problems. Specifically, what are we talking about?
I recently just got an email back from ICE, and they said now we had always been told it was 400 data points.
Now, what's ICE?
The Idaho State
Education Excellence, ISE.
Education, for, that's the name of our state longitudinal data system.
Oh, okay.
And so we've always been told that it was 400 data points, but the latest email I just received said 566 data points with 12 separate categories beneath that. So you can go on their site and you can click on the tabs and you can look at all the information that they collect there.
Right, but I mean specifically, what are we talking about as far as what they will know about your kids?
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. So my son in particular, he actually had a card that came home from school that was part of the Department of Labor. So his personal information had gone into the Department of Labor, and he had this little card. I was supposed to have a parent identification number to go with it. That was blank. That was empty. And
Why would the Department of Labor need your information?
I'm getting to this. Oh, so the Department of Education has made some interagency agreements, unbeknownst to a lot of the folks in education, with the Department of Transportation and the Department of Labor so that they can match Social Security numbers and all kinds of different records with educational records so that they can track us and match us from birth to the workforce.
What would be the purpose of that?
Matching. They can't share your Social Security number, but they can, if the Department of Labor and the Department of Transportation match it together, then the Education Department and the DOT and DOL can then use the information together.
So let me jump in here. What's the harm?
You know, I think the harm is...
I mean, as you guys are white-knuckling me this morning here, what's the harm?
Well, I just believe in individual privacy, and I don't want them to start tracking my kids, because what the system is designed to do is very much like what they have in Europe. And even if you look through some of the Common Core studies and the people that have promoted Common Core, you'll find studies where they call our kids human capital. And so they're talking about a workforce development program where they start at the very young, and they start tracking. And then they'll talk about individual learning plans. Well, this child seems to be really good in math, so we're going to start tailoring his online education and his class education more towards math and kind of tracking. And so they're talking about, and then they're making agreements even with private universities so they can keep track. You know, the kids that do so well in math in kindergarten, how are they, what careers are they ending up in? You know, what do we need to do for Microsoft, who needs more engineers? What do we need to do in kindergarten so that we can, you know, we can fill these workforce positions? And they'll talk a lot about that. I went to a data conference at our state capitol, and they talked about this and how excited they were to be able to give this information to businesses and be able to develop more of a workforce here in Idaho. And I just don't believe that our children at a very young age should start picking what they should do, or even that, and tracking them. And I don't want people tracking my children. I don't think it's any of their information or any of their business. And when I said these things to Senator Getty when we were trying to get a solid data bill passed, he told me that if I wanted that kind of protection for my children, then I needed to homeschool.
It's about human capital. I mean, really, that's what the data tracking is all about. One of the amazing things about America and the government that our founding fathers put in place was that everybody had the potential to be who they wanted to be if they were willing to put in the work and the effort. And the direction they are taking us now removes those opportunities from our children. Our children are going to be funneled very quickly via this data that they're collecting into specific workforce tracks. There are like 16 specific workforce tracks that they talk about. And, you know, we all know people who start out in the third grade can't add 3 + 3, and by the time they're graduated from high school, they're amazing students, or they graduate from college, you know, and they're amazing people. And this doesn't allow our children the opportunity to grow and to change and to develop and to reach their full potential. Somebody else gets to decide what their full potential is at a very young age, and it just removes all opportunity for growth.
I mean, if it's so bad, then why has everybody signed up for it? Just the money grab?
It was money. Yep. It was money, and it was a time when you know, we were having every economy was struggling, and so people signed on, and that's the only reason that so many people signed on. And then as people started to see what it was, we've had some states pull out. But the thing that we really need to understand is that we're not getting that much money. It's a small, so what the money that we get from the federal government pays for us to set up the programs, and then the state is on the hook to continue to pay for those programs. It's not like the money we get is going into the classrooms or helping us pay our teachers better or any of the things that are really important to people in Idaho. The money that comes from the state says, the federal government says, we will give you this money so you can set up and build your statewide longitudinal data system. And then you're on the hook to keep it running year after year after year and to pay the people that it will require to input all this data. And so at a time when we were having overcrowded classrooms and everything else, they were hiring people to do data and IT instead of hiring teachers. And that was coming out of our state tax dollars. And so, you know, really, you say, you know, can we cut the chains or, you know, give up this money? Yes, we can, because all it means is that we won't have that particular program. We may have to give up some of these programs, but if we'll just start taking a real hard look at what these programs are really doing for our kids, we might decide we're better off without them and using our money to fund our teachers and fund better schools and smaller classrooms and some of those things that would really make a difference here in Idaho.
All right, more coming up next. You're listening to Kevin Miller of 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Hope you're having a great day. Remember, you can always check us out, 580kido.com, on Twitter, at 580kido, Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. Stacey Knudsen, Stephanie Zimmerman, Myla Wood with us talking about Common Core. And we've heard about the bad things. Is there anything good about Common Core, ladies? Come on, there has to be something. I've been, and here's what I say to a lot of folks that are of your background and of your belief. You know, I go to these schools all the time, and all I ever hear about is good stuff about Common Core. All the teachers say it's great.
There might be aspects of the standards that are great. There's a good possibility there that those aspects do exist. But when, you know, even the proponents of Common Core give them a lower grade than California or Massachusetts standards had originally, you have to wonder, why did we settle for those? But, you know, we can keep the portions of Common Core that teachers like. Let's keep it. Let's look to other states like Massachusetts and California, and let's take the portions of their standards that we like, and let's write something that is uniquely Idaho, that will truly raise the bar for Idaho students, that will make Idaho a place that parents want to move with their children because they know they're going to get an exceptional education. And right now, if you implement Common Core the way it is, you're not getting that. You're getting, at best, a B education.
Well, B education at some cost when we divert it to data collection and everything else. So as we take a look at the legislative session here, how is Common Core going to go down the tubes? What's the plan of action?
Well, the first thing for parents to remember is Idaho is slower in implementing Common Core than any other state. There are states like Oklahoma and Ohio and all the other states that are moving forward and actually getting rid of Common Core. They've been fighting it for a number of years. This is really only our second session of even talking about Common Core and what's going to happen. So, you know, parents need to remember to have a little bit of patience. We're going to get there. We're not going to probably wholesale dump it this year. But we do have some steps that we'd like to see taken in the next legislative session.
I think the biggest one for me in this legislative session is to have an honest conversation about the data collection. Mr. Getty had a bill last year that was basically just a reprint from ALEC, which is the American Legislative Exchange Council, that really did not do anything to protect our student data. It was just kind of a fuzzy sugar cookies and flowers. So we would really like to have to revisit that bill and have a good conversation about really protecting my child's privacy. I mean, if the parent next to me wants to give their family and their students information away, then that should be maybe their option. But I work hard to protect my identity and my child's identity, so I think I should have that option as well.
Well, we build upon that, but who is taking your cause in the legislature?
My mind's going to go blank on names. I can see faces right now.
But that's important because you can't go anywhere without folks that are elected officials that are going to take this down? I mean,
you know, we actually have a number of legislators that are beginning to approach us and say, we don't understand this well enough. Can you sit down with us, take the time to show us what is actually going on? Because they're beginning to realize that they were lied to at the forefront of this. And they're, you know, they're looking at it and they want to know the truth. So we're building up a coalition of people. Judy Boyle has been a huge advocate for us in the House. You know, we lost Monty Pierce and Russ Fulcher in the Senate. They were on the Senate Ed Committee. So we're kind of, we're going to have to see who's on that committee there. But, you know, we've got senators and representatives that are willing to help, you know, pick up the ball and run with it.
Sure. But, you know, as we move along here at 580KIDO, that's going to be a big hurdle to get rid of this.
It will be. And
easier said than done.
We're trying to build a broad coalition, and particularly the second huge goal that we have is to get rid of the Smarter Balance Assessment. But with that one, we can call on teachers and administrators to help us, you know, push their legislators. We can draw on parents who don't like the time that's spent there. We're really trying to build a a broad base of supporters that we can say, look, this isn't just a right, this isn't just a left, this isn't just the parents, this isn't just the teachers, this is everybody who hates this testing consortium. So let's move forward with that. And as the legislators look and say, oh, they do have a lot of support behind this, you know, they start to look at it a little more seriously.
Well, what about the incoming state school superintendent? She's in favor of it. Her opponent was in favor of it. I think there was only one candidate that wasn't in favor of it. You're going up against the education establishment, just like Mr. Luna was in favor of it.
Well, I think that kind of goes back to what are they being told? What are they...
well, they're intelligent people. Just ask them.
But what information do they have access to? Have they read the documents?
They've met with all the bigwigs, and they've determined your kid's future.
But what I've found is that most of them have not read the actual agreements. They have not read the actual grants that we wrote. They haven't...
Then why did they agree to it?
That's a really good question.
You're a smart person.
I'd love for you to ask them that.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are smart. I mean, these guys are elected officials. That's their jobs. But could that, you know, you're speaking, you know, in the language of common sense. That's not always the language of our politicians.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what I found. I think there's some that are just not informed, and there's some that have been informed by those that they want to be informed by, and then they've formed an opinion without actually reading the documents. That's been my biggest frustration as I've dealt with our legislature as we go down there. And I genuinely believed that when we decided an issue that they would hear both sides, and that's not the experience that we have had. Any time that we've been asked or been allowed to come down and present, we have been so limited. They've even picked who gets to speak, so we don't even get to pick who among us.
Well, you guys are troublemakers, that's why.
And they limit it. But then, you know, Superintendent Luna is given unlimited time. There's always more on the pro panel than the con panel. It's very controlled, and so they really haven't heard. Nor have they, and then they're told, well, we believe this or we believe that, and all we've been saying is, please look at these documents and tell us why it's okay for you to be sharing our children's Social Security numbers with the Department of Labor and the Department of Transportation. Please look at this and tell us why it's okay to be spending 8 hours on a test. Why are kids in grade school being taken out of art and music because they aren't doing as well on the testing and they're spending extra time in a computer lab to get ready for the testing? Explain why we are spending so much time on this testing.
I'm with you, but what if they, and you look, I've seen you guys out in the public. They get all mad because they can't debate you guys and they think you're kooks.
I know, and see, that's the thing.
And that's how they dismiss you. They don't do it on the basis of the argument. They go, well, where's the UN? And let's face it, you've had some people that have talked about the UN, rightly or wrongly.
Well, rightly or wrongly, I mean, the people that are funding this have signed agreements with the UN. So that's written, that's out there, that's accessible.
Even if it's true, do you see where people are going to use that to discredit you, though?
I do see that.
And, you know, the thing being, yes, there is the UN argument, but you can't affect change on the level of the UN. So, you know, you have to affect it on a local level. That's where you make the changes and hope that eventually it works its way up the chain. But that's, you know, you said it at the beginning, Kevin. These people think the debate is over. They will not.
They do.
They will not come to us on a personal level and set up a fair and open debate where we can exchange ideas.
So how do you get around that? Is it, I mean, look, when we had our town hall meeting where I met you two, and Tom Luna took the beating, historic beating, I thought, well, this would send a message, but it really didn't. They kept, the regime kept going on.
Well, I think that, you know, I think whether we are able to affect change this legislative session on, or not, as this program continues to proceed, and the test scores fall, and more parents get frustrated, it's going to fall apart. It has fallen apart. There's been several changes made in Kentucky. There's been several changes made to it in New York, Oklahoma. So as more and more parents get involved and it affects them on a personal level, then it will fall apart. This system will fail. And so it's either going to be proactive and we do something and put something great in place and get ahead of the other states, or we fall along with everybody else, because the system isn't about educating kids. It's about making profit for the system.
Sure. The big education corporations. More coming up here. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Remember, you can always catch us. Kevin Miller's show on Twitter. We'd appreciate the follow. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, we continue on talking about Common Core. Stephanie Zimmerman, Myla Wood, Stacey Knudsen with us as we look at the legislative season and whether or not Common Core will be repealed. It's obvious that these folks aren't going to listen. What would be the cost if what happens, as you say, is true, that, you know, 5, 10 years, 3 years down the line, the state acknowledges that Common Core was a bad call at the line of scrimmage? What does that mean as far as money?
Well, with the SBAC, we just got a new letter from the Luna's office. It's already costing us $9.95 per student, and that doesn't include the cost for the test.
That's just the dues.
That's just the dues per student for it to be part of that SBAC consortium. So figure that out over Idaho. And now then in addition, we're paying for the test, and we're paying to grade that test. So that's just the SBAC. And then there is all of the higher requirements for broadband and everything else that are required because of this test, and all of the improvements that were required because of the, not just because of the statewide longitudinal data system, but because of the increased testing, the amount of time it takes for testing. So all of the school's computer labs had to be bumped up, which is why they were wanting that 1-to-1 computer student ratio, was because to prepare for all of this testing. So there's a lot of cost involved. And
in the long run, I think we're better off financially if we end up dropping Common Core. There's a lot. We get $10 to implement a $25 program, as you know, most federal programs are that way. You get the money to get it started, and then, you know, you've got to pay for it yourself. In the long run, we're going to be better off financially if we drop Common Core.
Right, but going through the painful process is going to cost us money.
Oh, it's going to cost us money. Mistakes cost money a lot of times, you know, and there's what you asked earlier, how do we go up against this when, you know, you've got the establishment that won't listen? And it's a hard question. And as, you know, a mother of eight, this is not my area of expertise. I will admit that going up against legislators is not what I really want to be doing going, you know. But it's what we have to do. We have to educate the public. We have to educate our legislators. And frankly, you know, mornings like this where we get to come in and talk about it and explain it. And
you've been on me for quite some time.
Well, yes. Yes, we have. But, you know, opportunities like this are valuable to us because it helps spread the word where more parents are going, oh, that's what's going on in my child's classroom. I didn't understand that's what it was. And as we get more parents that are more involved and start writing their legislators and writing to Ms. Ybarra and letting people know that they're not happy with it, we're going to be able to move forward faster.
580 KIDO, as we continue on, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. What do you say to parents that may not be aware of what's going on with Common Core? You know, a lot of people work at two or three jobs. They don't have the time to dedicate learning what's going on in their kids' school.
Well, they can go to our website, Idahoans for Local Education, and they can search for any part of any of these topics that they want to learn a little bit more about. They can also email us. We go around and we do presentations. We have a PowerPoint with resources that are documented to everything that we cite in the PowerPoint. So that's a couple ideas.
Now, have you scheduled a meeting with Mrs. Ybarra? Have you reached out to her? You can't be...
You're right. We reached out...
Let's make some news here.
No, we reached out before the election and did have some time to speak with her.
And what was that like? What was her reaction? I'm sure she took direction well. I'm sure she took correction well, huh?
Okay. You're not supposed to...
Do you feel confident in based on the conversations you had that she'll join the team? Did you say, hey, you might have not read this? Sure, that went over well.
We need to keep the lines of communication open with Ms. Ybarra. So, I will be honest.
Ms. Ybarra, Mr. Luna, which one would you pick?
Which of your favorite children? Which of your children are your favorite? That's not a fair question, Kevin.
Let's leave it at that with a laugh. We appreciate it. One more time, the website if people want more information.
Idahoans for Local Education.
All right. We thank you all, and we'll definitely have you all back. We appreciate it. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580K. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Appreciate you listening. Serving Marie.